It's time for the ETF Spotlight, where each week we highlight one exchange-traded fund. There are thousands of ETFs available to invest in. ETF Prime has sorted through them all, so you don't have to.
The ETF we're spotlighting this week is the Hoya Capital Housing ETF. Great ticker symbol, HOMZ, H-O-M-Z. This just launched a few weeks ago. And joining us via phone from Connecticut to discuss this ETF is Alex Petty, President and Head of ETFs for Hoya Capital Real Estate. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys.
So, Alex, before we get into the ETF, tell us a little bit about your background and what Hoya Capital does.
Sure. So we started Hoya Capital in 2015. It kind of informally actually started in about 2013. And we've been kind of very active in doing, we're a research-driven investment advisory. And so kind of the core of our research is on REITs, on housing. And so we actually publish kind of these quarterly REIT sectors. We publish kind of a weekly housing data thing. So HOMZ is kind of our first major kind of launch, and we launched it last March 20th. So.
Well, okay, so let's talk more about that, the Hoya Capital Housing ETF. This is being called the first ETF to offer diversified exposure across the entire U.S. housing sector. Explain what that means and what this ETF does.
Right. So, yeah, so there's currently ETFs that do invest in housing. So there's the home builder ETF. So, you know, there's XHB, there's ITB. And then there's the REIT ETF. So there's VNQ, there's a REIT that called RES that's kind of more specific to the housing segment. But it's crazy that there's been no ETF that sees the housing market as kind of a single sector. And I think it's kind of partially the effects of kind of the sector classification. So there's GIC sectors. I think kind of the big index providers don't really want to stray too far from the kind of classic kind of sector lines. And so it kind of took a smaller index provider to rewrite the kind of index rules kind of, and kind of see housing as kind of a single sector.
So tell us more about that index. So what exactly is included here? If you look under the hood, look at the holdings.
Right. So so it's the entire housing market. And so we kind of set out to define what the parameters of the housing market were. And this process started 3 or 4 years ago. And it's actually a pretty long, challenging process, because you first need to define, well, what is the housing index? What for the housing industry? And then then part two is kind of finding the companies that actually represent that exposure. And so we looked at data and kind of split it into kind of four major categories. And so the index includes essentially the 100 names that kind of reflect the U.S. housing market. And so the two major categories are the home ownership and rental categories. So that's about 30% of the index. That's about it's mostly REITs. It's I think about 20 REITs. The other major category is the home building and construction category. So that's the home builders. That's the home building products. There's also some timber REITs in there. That's another 30% of the index there. Home improvement is about 20% of the index. That includes names like Home Depot, like Lowe's, home furnishing companies, home appliance companies. And then the last category is the home financing technology and services category. So this includes names like Zillow, Redfin, also home financing companies. So it has the 6 or 7 largest mortgage banks in the U.S. And really what the goal was to have the index reflect a kind of diversified view of the entire U.S. housing industry. And so by kind of taking this diversified view, it's kind of exhibited kind of less volatility and kind of less interest rate as the kind of major kind of subsector ETFs, which are the kind of REIT and then the home builder ETFs.
Alex, I'm curious, what was the backstory on launching this ETF? What was the impetus to take the leap here?
Right. So it's really kind of rooted in our research. So our kind of research focuses on this kind of lingering housing shortage and kind of the effects of this lingering underinvestment in housing, which has really been pretty significant since 2008. But really, you can actually trace this lingering housing shortage actually all the way back to about the mid-1990s. And there's been a pretty significant underinvestment in new home construction. There's also been an underinvestment in existing homes. And so this underinvestment kind of has very far-reaching effects in that existing homes are now older. Older homes require more, new water heaters, new cabinets. But then also the kind of central effect is that the housing shortage, the housing underinvestment, is causing this lingering rise in housing costs and rents. And so it really was kind of at its core, it was designed to kind of give, especially renters, this kind of opportunity to kind of get their foot in the door of the housing market with what we think at the ETF level is as close as you can get to kind of a physical investment in housing.
And Alex, can you talk more about the role of owning real estate exposure in a portfolio, just at a broader level?
Right. So I think that the aspects you get with real estate are not correlated with, or it's less correlated to stocks. It's kind of in between stocks and bonds, and so it kind of gives you that diversification, that income and growth balance that's kind of well suited for pretty much any portfolio, but it's kind of that balance in between stocks and bonds.
You mentioned the ETF could perhaps be a fit for somebody who doesn't currently own a home, and you talked about how home ownership has been pushed out of reach for a lot of people. But for people who do own a home, there's always this debate over whether they should, I don't know, double down on this type of exposure in their investment portfolio. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Right. So I think our kind of pitch to the existing owners is that so your investment in a home is one investment on one block and one neighborhood. It's not very diversified. And so, homes kind of gives existing homeowners that kind of diversification, that exposure, so that they're not so dependent on the kind of idiosyncratic risks of a single property in a single area. And so the ETF actually has exposure to, I think it's like 1.2 million rental units. It tracks companies that built about 250,000 homes, and so it really is kind of the way to diversify any sort of housing related exposures.
Alex, we have about 2 minutes left. Any high level thoughts on the current housing market? Anything noteworthy you're seeing right now?
Right. So I think that there was certainly a slowdown last year, and it was very rate driven. And kind of our research indicates that 2018 looks a lot like 2014 and 2015, where rates suddenly surged in 2014, and it significantly slowed the housing markets. But they quickly kind of as rates pulled back in 2015, started to reaccelerate home sales. Grew, and so I think that you're kind of seeing a very similar effect now, in that as rates have pulled back, that you're starting to see more optimism in the housing markets as a whole.
What about demographics moving forward? You hear about particularly millennials. You mentioned the rentals, but moving out of the rental market and starting to form households. Is that something you're seeing in terms of the demographics?
Right. So the largest kind of four-year mini generation in the U.S. is actually between 26 and 30 now, And so that kind of age is kind of prime, household years. So yes, like the next decade, we're kind of very bullish on a new household growth.
Well, Alex, we'll have to leave it there. We are out of time. Congratulations on the launch. We wish you all the success. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Alex Petty, president and head of ETFs for Hoya Capital Real Estate. Again, the ETF is the Hoya Capital Housing ETF, ticker HOMZ. And you can learn more about this ETF by visiting thehousingetf.com.